Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the word of God.
Amen. I am starting a new series on devotion. Amen. It's very important. I was praying. I was like, God, what do you want me to preach about? And I do this every time I have to preach. Why? Because I say this a lot. Because I don't want to preach what I know. Right? I've been in church my whole life. I can preach something at the drop of a dime. But I want to preach the word that God is speaking to his people. Amen. So I must humble myself and say, God, okay, I might know this, I might know that, but I want to know what you want to speak. Amen? Amen. Not right now. But we want to talk about devotion. And it's important to talk about devotion because there is so many things that we are devoted to. Amen? So I want to break down the word devotion. It is defined as love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. All right? Love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. So we already know there's a few people that have devotion towards many different things. Right? We have devotions towards many different things in our lives. Some of them are good. Some of them we still need to get rid of. Amen? But we all have some kind of love or loyalty and enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Also, they call it a religious worship or observation and prayers or religious observations. I don't know why they put it twice, but religious worship or observation and prayers. Amen. So when we think about devotion, this is something that every human being has. Right? We all have to be devoted to something. Even the person that says, I'm not really into anything. Guess what they really are into? Themselves. Right? People say that shy people, you know, some people say shy people are, you know, they're just so shy. A lot of times they're self-conscious. Too much. They have too much self-consciousness. So they don't know, should I get up? I don't know. Should I move? They're too devoted to themselves. Amen. And sometimes you got to look past that. But my question to you is, what are you devoted to? What are you devoted to? Because we're going to spend our time in this life that God gives us devoted to some things. Amen? What are some things you are devoted to? I want some answers. Somebody share what you're devoted to. Quick answers. Come on. Children, family, work, did you say? Wife, work. How many are devoted to your job? If you got one, you got it. I'm going to tell you something. Your job, when you go get your job, they're going to ask you, are you devoted? Right? And then not only that, they're going to see how devoted you are by saying, well, we're going to need you to stay past your time that you said you're able to work. Right? Jobs are going to get the devotion from you or you're not going to get your pay. They're going to be like, well, you're not devoted enough. Is this a career for you or is this just a job to pay your bills? Like, they ask these questions, but in the body of Christ, we have to ask the same thing. Are you devoted to Jesus? Because if not, you're wasting your time. Right? And then, you know, a lot of people in church, they don't like, oh, let's just tell them that Jesus loves them. Yeah, Jesus loves us, but you have to be devoted to Jesus to show your love for him. Amen? So when we think about what we are devoted to, it's so many different things. One of the biggest things that people are devoted to is money. Right? Now, we get into church and money is the word. Don't say money. Why? We're taking up offering. Oh, they're not loving God no more. Right? Why do people think that? Because some people are so devoted to money, and even people in the church, unfortunately, are so devoted to money that they'll do anything for that money. I was at a pastoral appreciation. Was that last week? Man, it was hot last week. It's cold in here right now. I'm freezing. Anyway, one of the pastors got up and said, man, too many people are focused on transactions and not focus on transformation. And I was like, wow, what does that mean? A transaction means I look at people that come into church or people in general as money making, right? A transformer is looking to see how their lives can be transformed for the better. But really what it shows is what they're devoted to. Amen? How will you find a good man or woman of God? You have to find out for yourself, right? Because you can go, you can come to this church, you can go to many different churches, but the way you find out if somebody is devoted to God is by how they react. Amen? If they're here just to lift themselves up or not. The first thing that at the pastoral appreciation that I really enjoyed was that the pastor got up and said, I want everybody to worship God, not me. I know this is here for me, but I want you guys to give all the praise and worship to God. That, when I saw that, I was like, man, that's a good guy. Why? Because he is not taking the glory. And in this day and age, we have to be careful that we do not take the glory. Amen? But we give it to God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 24. And a lot of us have read this before. I've read it before. It says, no one can serve two masters. So no one can be devoted fully to two things. It says, for either he will hate one and love the other, right? Or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is mammon? I mean, we don't say that. It's not that animal that has tusks, a mammoth. It's not a mammoth. But mammon is another word for riches, okay? So you cannot serve God and riches. So your loyalty is going to be tested in that, right? I think that God will, even when you say you're loyal to God, he will test you on where you're loyal at, right? Has anybody ever been tested by God? You say, God, I want to serve you. I'm going to trust you, God. And he's going to test where you're devoted to. I tell people this all the time, and I might have said this a few times, but if you say, God, I want to trust you, God, he's going to test you on that, right? You don't just say, God, I want to trust you, God, and then all of a sudden you get empowered with a higher level of trust. No, you're going to have to go through something in order to gain that trust. Amen? So when you think about being devoted to God, you're going to have to go through a test to really see where you're devoted to. Many times, our devotion will cause us to walk a certain path in life. How many have had friends that you used to grow up with, but because of your devotion and their devotion, you're walking two different ways? So now when you get and you connect with them, hey, how you doing? What you up to? Oh, I'm up to this. And this is like, man, well, this is what I'm into. I hope, hey, would you like to come join me? Because this is the life. Yesterday, I was at I go to a lot of events. It was a Rally for Hope downtown Seattle, and they were worshiping God, all kinds of nationalities, people just praising God, singing, and testimonies and preaching, and they gave food out and everything. And I was there, and there was this one guy that's about my age. I was going to call him a kid. I'm still a kid. Hallelujah. But I was like, hey, man, I know you from somewhere, right? And we were trying to figure out. I was like, then I remember I knew him from 1 year when my parents put me in summer school, and I didn't have to go. I wasn't devoted to going to summer school. I was did not want to go. Anyway, I went there, and that was how I met this kid. So we were in there, and you know, I was as he was there, he wasn't really living for the Lord, and you know, so. As we figured out, I was like, man, so what are you doing here? He was like, man, I'm going to share a word. And I was like, wow, because that's not what you were like back in the day. But just to see how God changed his life and God has put him on a course, I was like, man, he had to get devoted to this. Because many times our lives and the courses that we take show what we're devoted to. Amen. You can either be devoted, well, let me not get ahead of myself. Let's keep on going. Verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Somebody say worry. Uh-oh. Do not worry about your life. Now if I stop right there, that gets a lot of us. That even gets me, right? We worry. I had a lot of things to worry about just this week. I was trying to get my kids in school, and they go to a Christian school. So I'm worrying about the finances to put them in there, right? Because I don't have them right now. And I was worrying about if I can get financial aid, blah, 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 the whole nine. And I was worrying and worrying. And then I was like, man, I'm going to just stop worrying about this. Let me put this in God's hands. Why? Because if I'm so worried about it, what happens? The things you worry about, you're devoted to. Right? If I'm so worried about this, I can't devote my time to something else because that boggles my mind down. So we have to get rid of worry. Amen. The Bible says, do not worry about anything, but present your requests and prayers to God. Amen. Let's continue. It says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the bird and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Amen. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Then it says, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Now, when it said Gentiles there, it wasn't talking about the saved Gentiles, right? It was talking about people that were constantly, like, if you look at people in this world right now, they are constantly worrying about what they have. And now, for some people, it might not be clothes. It's the car they have, right? It's the house they live in. They're worrying about these things, but God says, don't do that. It says, therefore, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. This is important. God knows that you have need. Amen. We have to remember that. Sometimes we think that God, you see what I need. Right? You ever been there before? God, do you know that I need? God knows. Right? But what happens is you're so devoted to that thing instead of being devoted to God at that moment. So it's very important that we don't, even with our needs, get so caught up with, man, God, I need you to get this for me, instead of, God, I just need to thank you for what you've already done. Amen. So when you change what your devotion is, it'll change your attitude and your mindset. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God. So now Jesus is telling us what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. This shows your devotion. Amen. In the middle of whatever you are going through, if you seek first his kingdom, guess what? He will take care of you. But it shows where you are devoted. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Look how Jesus looked at all the needs that we have. He just calls them things. Right? And sometimes we got to look at it. It's just things. If your kids come to you, Daddy, what's that? Oh, that's just a thing. Right? What does that show your kids? That it's not that important. Right? But God is important. When we teach our children, they should know that. What's the most important thing in mommy or daddy's life? What's the most important thing in grandpa, grandma, uncle, cousin, whoever you are? What is the most important thing? And it should be that we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. Somebody say, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Verse 34, the conclusion says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How many know every day has trouble? And if you didn't know, I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. Every day is going to have something. But just because you have trouble, Jesus said, don't be worried, for I have overcome the world. He actually said, do not be troubled, for I have overcome the world. So you can have troubles in your life, but when you're troubled, it's a different thing, right? Because now troubles have overtaken you, and now they are called troubled, or you will be called troubled. But we don't want that. So it shows where our devotion lies. When we are devoted to God, troubles that come into our life will be overcome. But if we're not devoted to life when troubles come, and I'm not going to say that all of us are not devoted to Christ, because we are still learning this. Amen. We're still learning that when troubles come, we have to just say, God, I count it all joy. Consider it all joy when you face trials and tribulations of many kinds, because the word of God says that the testing. Now, I talked about that earlier. When you ask God for, God, I want to trust you. Your testing will develop perseverance. Perseverance will develop hope. Character will develop hope. Amen. And then it says the man or woman of God will be complete because of the troubles that you went through. Amen. So it's important to know this. What are you devoted to, God or worrying? Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 16, verse 1 through 13. And I have this. Are you loyal or not? This is my little caption I put on it. It says, he also said to his disciples, he being Jesus, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and on accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said to himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. All right, so this guy is working. Why? He should have been working before, right? But now he's in trouble. And he's looking out for himself. See, God has given you things in your life, but they're not for you to just look out for yourself. Somebody catch that? It's not for you to look out for yourself, because when you are looking out for yourself, it shows that you are not devoted to God, but you are devoted to you or to self. What does somebody that is devoted to self look like? They won't help anybody else. It's not my problem, right? I met somebody yesterday. It was like, I don't look at the news. I don't look at social media. I don't look at anything. So I don't have anybody else's problems. And I was like, that don't work. Because if you walk down the street, you're going to see problems. But that was his mindset. That was his mantra in life. I'm stay worry-free. He was so consumed with self that he wouldn't allow himself to see what everybody else is dealing with. And then he said he was a counselor. I don't know how that works. That was kind of interesting. I'm just saying. But really what it showed is the things that he had given, he used it and utilized it only for himself. So we see this steward who was supposed to be stewarding. And what does stewarding mean? That means managing well, right? So next time you have a manager, I ain't gonna go there. Just make sure they're a steward. Sometimes you got stewards and you got managers. When you work for somebody, hopefully you get a steward. Amen. But it says, verse 7. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So look, we see something here in that scripture that people in the world are going to be shrewd. What does shrewd mean? Somebody help me out. Say harsh, crafty, trickery, right? When things like trickery and all that kind of stuff happen, it shows their what? Devotion. Right? If I'm here to just trick you into coming to do a certain thing, it shows where my heart is. When you hear about people that get caught up doing that, even in the church, like some people, like I always say this, it's so hard for people that are in the world to recognize somebody that goes to church and somebody who's actually a part of the church, right? So anytime something happens in the church by somebody that goes to church, they immediately say, oh, that's the church. The church is all about tricking people. They're about doing this. They're about doing that. That's why it's important that leaders in the body of Christ, number one, show that they are truly devoted to God. Because if they don't see that from the leaders, guess what? If a leader is not showing their devotion to God, everybody that is there actually follows their example to some degree. I'm not saying every person that goes to a church does everything that the leader does, but you understand what I'm saying. When you are leading people in different ways. And when you come to New Creation Christian Center, we want to lead you into a relationship with God. That's the number one thing. When my dad was talking about being a new creation yesterday, what does that look like? That means, man, I used to live like this. Matter of fact, there's still some things that I'm getting rid of that I used to have. Why? Because we are growing from glory to glory, getting rid of the old man and becoming new. I continue to do that so that I can be all that God wants me to be. Amen. That shows our devotion. We're not here. My dad just said it on offering, and he says it a lot. If you don't have money, that's okay. How many churches do you go to when they say that? I've been to churches where they're like, yo, we're not leaving. we're not leaving until we reach this. And I used to always wonder, do they have that number right set at first, or is it after they went and counted it? Or, yeah, we got anyways, that's just. I'm just saying, sometimes the church has bills. I understand that. But we have to make sure our devotion is not to money. It's not to glorify ourselves, but we are devoted to God. And verse 9 says it again. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Then when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful, let's check this out. This is key to devotion to God. It says, he who is faithful in the little or the least, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. All right? What is that saying? That even if you have a little but you show your devotion, God's going to reward you. Amen? Also, what does it say? Those who have little, when they get more, they're going to act the same way. How many people heard people say, more money, more problems? Right? Some of you guys heard more money, more problems? Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of songs that say it. Right? But what happens, they didn't really get more problems. It's just highlighted more. Right? You look at some of these sports players, and some of these players, I'd be like, man, why don't they get it? Don't do that again. Right? But they do it again because that was their character. And until their character changes because they're not devoted to the whatever league they played for, right? They're just devoted to themselves. So they're going to do whatever gratifies themselves in that moment. But it's very important to know that if you are faithful with the little that you have, God will allow it to increase. Amen? That goes for anything in God. God doesn't just give you a mega church out of the blue. T.D. Jakes didn't have a mega church when he first started. Matter of fact, when you hear the story about T.D. Jakes, a lot of people talk about how he struggled in the first years to get his church, the church that God allowed him to lead, to get it to go. But now when you look at it, you see, wow, this is huge, right? But he was faithful with the little. So let's do it on the flip side. Sometimes we see certain people get saved from the world and they have a mega church right out the gate, right? What happens? They stop serving God, right? The church crumbles. Something happens because they didn't show that they were faithful with little first. They went after the big thing, which is not always a good thing to do. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about letting novices preach. It says, don't do that, lest they be puffed up with pride and they'll be worse than when they started. So it's important to learn to start little. So when somebody gets saved and, yeah, I got a word. Okay, cool. Sit down for a while. Right? I want to hear your word. You can tell it to me, but I'm not just going to let you get up here and preach. Why? It's not just, because I'm being mean to you. It's because you have to learn the things of God. See, just like you learn the things in the world by being devoted to the things in the world, you learn how to do certain things in the world. It's the same with God. You have to learn the things of God, right? And you don't learn the things of God just by reading the Bible. You have to have the Spirit of God to learn the things of God. That's why some people read the Bible, huh? Read the Bible, get a quote-unquote revelation about what God's word says, because they read one scripture and they make up this big old thing. But what happens is, because they don't have the Spirit of God, they can't understand the word of God. Revelation doesn't come by reading the word. It comes by the Spirit of God. Amen. So when you think about this thing, you have to be devoted to God and devoted to listening to the Spirit of God. See, when you first get saved, you are learning how to hear the Spirit, right? And when we, man, I could talk about the Spirit of God. When we talk about the Spirit of God, I talked about this on my radio show that's going to come out this week. We talked about what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. It was so important that Jesus told the disciples, don't go anywhere. You guys catching this? Don't go anywhere until you have the Spirit of God. Don't just go up in that room and pray until the Spirit of God comes. When the Spirit of God comes, you'll know, because you'll be empowered, right? So what did they do? They didn't start preaching the word. Jesus told them, go therefore, but he told them to wait. And they waited upon God. And when they got the Spirit, then they had revelation. They started reading, and even the Spirit brought to remembrance the scriptures that would help show who Jesus was, and then they started saying it in different languages that they didn't even know how to speak, because the Holy Spirit gifted them with that. Amen. So when you are devoted to God, you have to be devoted to his word, but you also have to be devoted to his Spirit. Amen. All right. What verse was I at? 12. And it says, and if you have not been faithful, and what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? All right, some, if you want to have a good business, but you're not faithful with a business that you work for, might not be a good idea. Okay? It says, no servant can serve two masters. We heard that again. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we see there's two things that we can do. We can be loyal to God, or loyal to riches. Amen? One thing I say, in the busiest lives, and how many of us say, oh man, I'm busy. This week, I was busy this week, right? But in the busiest of the busiest lives, we still have time for what we're devoted to. Right? Some of us, we're devoted to catching that one TV show that comes on in the middle of our day, whether we finish cooking, whether the kids' homework is done. You hold up. Time out. My show is on. Right? We all do that. Look, I don't bother me because this TV show is on, and if I miss this, it's going to be a problem. You're going to get your butt. Yeah, I'm just saying. Right? Why? Because we're devoted to that thing. We carved out a certain amount of time to watch that TV show. Now, you fill in the blank. Some of us, it's not TV shows, but we have certain things that we carve out time to do, whether we're busy or not. Right? Fantasy football is coming. Right? I don't know how many of you guys play, but fantasy football has a lot of people that are devoted to it. So devoted that if they lose, they cry. And I don't do that. I don't like losing, right? But I'm not going to cry over some fantasy game, right? But people are so devoted that they even put money on it, right? And why? Because they are devoted to it. Sometimes we can tell what you're devoted to by what you put your money towards, right? Some people are devoted to fast food. Every week, every day, I got to have that McChicken. You fill in the blank. You understand what I'm saying? But they're devoted to it. It has become a necessary part of their life. People are devoted to coffee. Take their coffee away and there's a problem. Why? Because this has been something that they not only are devoted upon, but they rely upon. People believe that they cannot wake up until they have their coffee. So I remember dropping Precious off one time at work, and that'd be early. I was like, Jesus. Anyway, she was, when I dropped her off, I would see people just walking, and I could tell who had their coffee or who didn't. People that didn't have their coffee, they said, I didn't need that coffee. Right? The ones that had their coffee, whoo! Right? You can see it walking to the Starbucks, right? So, thank you. And then they come out just like energized, right? Because their body, not only are they devoted, but their body has become so dependent upon it, they feel like they are not awake until they had that shot of coffee. Amen? And they carve out time. When you even in ready, getting ready to work, they carve the time out to go get that coffee. How many of us do that with our relationship with God? We carve out this time to get up and spend time with God. It's very important that we do that if we say we're devoted to God. Now, this summer, I don't really like getting up early, but this summer, I set my alarm at 8 o'clock every day. That's still kind of early for me. But every day I got up and I was like, man, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to get into a rhythm of this, and now school starts, so I got to get up at 7. Jesus, help me. That means I got to go to bed a little bit early because that's something that I'm devoted to doing, right? So why do I do this? So that I can be in touch with God. And this summer, one of the biggest things I wanted to do, I wanted to hear God's voice quicker. I wanted to hear his voice quicker. That means I have to spend more time with him. Amen? I want the Spirit to speak. Like, I might be driving down the road. I want to hear God's Spirit speak. I don't want it to have to, God, what should I do? I want to hear his Spirit speak. So what God has been doing is he's been training my ear. By spending time with him in devotion with him, now God is, I'm devoted to him, so now God is going to devote himself to me. We were singing a song, Worth. He thought I was worth saving. When we sing that song, that shows how devoted God was and is towards us. Amen? God thought it was worth his life. He said, I'm going to send my son for you, everyone on the earth, that if they accept me, they will be free from the entanglement of sin. That's how devoted he was. And he went through the pain. He went through the beatings, the mockings, the getting spit on for you. Because he was devoted to you more than he was devoted to himself. And Jesus, a lot of people try to figure out what was Jesus' purpose for coming to the earth. Jesus' purpose was to show us how to live this life. Amen. That's why he surrendered everything. You got to remember, Jesus was God. He could have just said, just worship me. I'm here. I'm here. I'm God. Come on, take the picture. I'm going to be here for about 33, 34 years. Take my picture. Right? You ain't going to ever see something like this again until I come back and when I come back. Right? But he was devoted to showing us how to live. It said that he took on, well, basically, he showed us how to worship God. He showed us how devoted he was to God. Amen? Many times you see Jesus got away and prayed, got away to spend time with God. Even in the middle of his biggest decisions, Jesus called. I mean, you got to think about this. The Last Supper, right? After the Last Supper, it was kind of late. How do we know this? Because the disciples were falling asleep. And they all ate. And some of us know how we get when we eat. It's sleep time, right? So Jesus said, look, we're going to go pray. After the Last Supper, I know this is the last time I'm going to eat with you, but let me devote time to go pray. And the disciples had to learn even that at that point, are you going to devote time to praying or are you going to devote time to sleeping? And they didn't win that devotion that time. But I guarantee they learned it. They learned their lesson. Amen. And I mean, even with me, man, sometimes when I'm waking up in the morning, that's the hardest thing. Like, I got to get up. I can't go back to sleep while I'm praying. Why? Because not only is prayer important, it's war. When you think about prayer, this is war. This is not, you don't go to war half sleep. Because if you do, you're the first one getting taken out. So when you go to prayer half sleep, guess what happens? When you go through that day, you're going to be taken out because you weren't prepared. So I look at prayer as my wartime preparations. Not why do I look at it as war? Because the things that I pray, the angels and the enemy are fighting for. Amen. And inside of me, I am fighting to do what God wants me to do. And if I don't have clear instructions from the general, the manager, the head, I'm going to be in trouble. So even in the busiest times, we have to carve out time for what we are really devoted for. Amen. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6. It says, continue earnestly in prayer. Somebody say continue. That means you got to be devoted to this. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So not only do we pray, but we need to be thankful for what God has done. Amen. I make it a point to be thankful about what God has done in my life, because when I do that, he's more willing to bless me with something else. How many of your kids, if they're not thankful for what you gave them, even on Christmas, it's going to be a problem. Well, next Christmas, I'm not getting them that. Note to self. He didn't even like it. Man, and that ran me some, right? But thankfulness opens doors for people. You go to your job and you show them that you're thankful to be at the job. There's something about that person. They're always saying thank you for something. I don't even know what they're saying thank you for, but we're going to give them more. Why? Because we love the fact that when they come through this door, they're not complaining like the rest of them. They're thankful. That shows your devotion. Amen? It says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom, somebody say wisdom, toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now, this is something else we have to be devoted to. Let your speech, what we talk, always be with grace. All right? Now, for Christians, we have to make sure that our speech is full of grace. When somebody falls, we don't be like, we don't go hard on them. Why? Because one day you might fall. Lord forbid, I pray that doesn't happen. But guess what? We are fallen nature. So we might mess up, right? And when we do, you don't want somebody to keep pushing you down when you fall, right? That's what happens when you don't speak with grace. But you want to help them up. Say, man, I know you messed up, but God's grace is sufficient for you. God wants to help you get up. All right, like, I could talk about what you've done wrong, but I'm saying, no, let's not talk about that. Let's see how we can get this thing right. Because I believe that God is in you. Amen. This is how you have to talk when some people, we had to learn this, right? Sometimes it's not easy to just come talking to people because sometimes you're upset. Emotions get in the way. But if you say, man, I don't care what you've done, God's grace will forgive you, but God wants you to walk in the right way. And I believe that you can walk in the right way. I believe that there's much more in your life if you continue to surrender to God. And that doesn't mean when we talk with grace, we don't tell them the truth. We still tell them the truth, but we do it in a way of love. Amen? So it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, what does salt do? It preserves, right? That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Amen? So it's important to let your speech be that, but we have to be in the word so we know what to speak. Amen? Because when somebody comes to you, hey, this is my lifestyle, this is what I do, I know it's against the word of God, accept me. We don't accept their lifestyle, right? But we still accept them. How does that work? Well, we see the situation right now with some of the things that are going on. Some people in the church don't know how to accept people without accepting their mess. Right? Now, let's be real. Everybody has mess. Jesus accepted you it said while we were still sinners. So that means while we were still messed up, while we were still doing wrong, displeasing God, it says he died for us. We didn't realize it. We didn't all realize it right out. The first time we sinned, we didn't say, oh, God died for me. Oh, man, I need to get this right. It took time. So when we are sharing the grace of God, the saving grace of God, it's going to take time. Amen. And my heart is to see people of all kind of lifestyles saved, transformed. Amen. See them so that they can say, man, I used to be like this, but God made me new. When somebody has that kind of testimony, they can write a book on it. And other people will get saved because God is in the saving business. Amen. That's why it's important. Don't worry about where your family members are at right now. Just continue to pray for them. Continue to seek God and ask God what you should say to them so that they can learn that God loves them and he died for them and he has a purpose and plan for their life. Amen. So that's important. That's something we have to devote ourselves to. It says, how many of us have started something and didn't finish it? Right? Dang, people raise their hand like, dang, okay, I'm guilty. Well, thank God, God has grace for you. Amen. Because we've all started something, but we quit it because it really wasn't the top of our list. Right? There's some things that overshadow it. Like I started college. I was getting ready to get married. I was like, I gotta go get a job. Right? So I was like, oh, school's gonna have to stop because I have to get a job to provide for my household. Right? Now I'm still trying to finish that college, and it's been a long time, right? Amen. I'm not gonna tell you how old I am. No, I'm just playing. But in that process, at that moment, that wasn't the strongest thing. But let's go to Acts chapter 14, 21 through 22. And then after that, I have one more scripture and we'll be done for today. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through 22. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue, somebody say continue, in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, this little scripture packs a lot, because the person that was doing this, it was Paul. Paul was there going to these places, encouraging them and making disciples. But the thing that he told them was, don't just start this thing, finish this thing. You don't want to just start Christianity. How do you start Christianity? Oh, I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. I need you in my life. And many are sincere in that, right? But as time goes on, man, I don't know if that thing works. I said it last year, but I haven't felt nothing different yet. Because they haven't learned to continue in the things of God. What does continuing look like? Continuing, as it said there, it says you will go through many tribulations. All right? See, this is important to understand. Your Christianity, your accepting Jesus Christ does not come with a price. It's going to come with a price. Now, salvation is free, somebody says. I'm not telling you you're going to pay money. Right? But I will say that sometimes accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is going to cost you money. Because there's some things you're not going to do because you have accepted Jesus Christ. And you're saying all money is not good money. Matter of fact, I've had people that got mad at me for some stances that I made, even with my music. I produced music, and there were some people that I knew that didn't do Christian music. And that was the way I was. If you don't do Christian music, I'm not going to work with you. Unless God gives me another word, maybe you're going to do something positive, right? But they weren't going to do it. And they got mad at me because I wouldn't sell them the music I created. And I was like, okay, I just miss your money. Okay, cool. But they were offended. That was a tribulation. How many of you know, I've been reading this in our Bible study, that Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. And it says he is an offense to those that don't know him. So this is why anytime we are saying a whole bunch of nice things, people accept that, right? Oh, God loves everybody. They'll accept that. But Jesus Christ is the only way. Oh, no, I can't accept that. Why? Because it's offensive. It makes everything else look like it's cheap and meaningless, which that's really the reality. Jesus is the only important thing in life if we are devoted to him. Amen? Last scripture, Colossians 1, 21 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 29. And this is, I listed it as being devoted to the gospel and to the lifestyle of a believer. And it says, and you, somebody say me, I was once alienated and enemies in my mind by wicked works. Now, some people don't like putting me in there, right? Dang, did he just say me? Yeah, you. You were once alienated and against God by your wicked works. But God loves you. Amen. And then it says this, yet, which is like, okay, yeah, you were, but what does it say? Now he has reconciled. What does reconciled mean? Come on, somebody help me. To make right, to get it together. So you were jacked up, tore up from the floor up, but God said, let me fix that. Right? This is powerful. He said, let me fix that. In the body of his flesh through death, this is how he fixed it. In his body through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So when Jesus died, that was his purpose. to make you right, to make you holy, to make you blameless and above reproach in his sight. What does reproach mean? Come on, Harold, lawyer. Condemnation. So when you think about reproach, we all had reproach. I don't know if that sounds right. But we had it. And the only way we can get rid of it is by accepting his death and his resurrection. Amen? So it says, above reproach in his sight, if indeed, now this is important right here. I like this because, see, some people say, once I got saved, that was it. But it says, if indeed you continue, which means devote yourself, which means stay in, continue. See, a continuing song doesn't end. You guys ever remember the song? This is a song that never ends. It goes on and on again. And people used to sing it on and on and on until they got tired because they couldn't continue it. But continuing this lifestyle that we live for Jesus does not end. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, and not only continue in it, but be grounded and steadfast and are not moved away. Somebody say moved away. See, this is important because some people get moved away from the gospel, the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. What does it look like when somebody is moved away from the hope of the gospel? That means they begin to think, okay, I can do this by myself now. Right? Let me tell you this, and I say this all the time. Without Jesus, you can do nothing in the eyes of God. You can do a lot in the world. You could be the big man. Right? People can say, oh, yeah, you're the guy. Oh, yeah, he does all this. He does all that. But Paul said it like this. That's just a whole bunch of poop. Dung. Right? In the eyes of God doesn't care all the works that you create. Without accepting Jesus, it's just poop. Amen? That's in the Bible. I didn't make that up. I'm just saying. It says, I now rejoice. Somebody say, rejoice. In my sufferings. See, this is funny because a lot of us don't do that. I don't do that. I be like, God, what are you doing? Why am I going through this again, God? But until you learn to rejoice that God is still God in the midst of that situation, you're going to stay there. So part of continuing is rejoicing in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh. What is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Let me read that again. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So I get rid of, or I even learn the ways of Christ. This is important in continuing. I still learn about God. I'm 31 years old and I continue to learn what it looks like to live a life of God. And my prayer is not that God, I already know everything, so that's it. No, my prayer is, God, I still need to understand you. If there's something that I read in the Bible that I don't understand, Lord, reveal it to me. Not, I already know, so when somebody comes to me with something else that I don't know, I don't be like, well, that's not the truth. I have to continue to grow in God. Amen? That is part of continuing this thing. It says, and this is Paul that says this, right? So this is the guy that wrote most of the Bible. He's still saying, I have to grow. I have to get rid of the things that are still in my life that are not pleasing to God. And it says, of which I am becoming a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Why do I say that? Because when you accept Christ, he is your hope. Now, some people say we are living in a world that has no hope. That's because they haven't accepted Christ. That's true hope. Without Jesus, what is hope? Well, I hope I make it to tomorrow. Right? When you're on the block, I hope I get out of this alive. Right? We could be in that same mindset, but our mindset is, no, I don't hope that I just make it. I hope, my hope is in Christ. What does that look like? God, I hope that I become more like you, Jesus. Less like me, but more like you. That's my hope. So when I wake up, even with dealing with my children, I'm like, God, help me be a father like you are. Right? When you say something, God, I know that I should listen right away. But sometimes I didn't. Right? So if my kids do the same thing, this is the thing about God. God's love is so great because he doesn't just slap me. Right? And, you know, if God slaps you, it's going to hurt. But God's grace is, man, okay, let's try it again. Right? And I do this to my kids sometimes. I say, man, son or daughter, you were supposed to do what I told you to do. But I'm going to give you grace this time. Because God gave me grace. And some of us are laughing. But sometimes you have to do this. Right? Because I want to exemplify what it looks like to be a father to my children so that they would trust in God the Father. Because if I'm a bad father to my kids, they're not going to have nothing to do with God the Father. That's why when we think about all the things that go on, even in our community, it's hard to trust a father if you've never seen a father that you could trust. Amen? So my job is to show my kids the love of God the Father by doing what he would do. Now, this is another thing, though. God does chastise his children. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's keep on going. It says, Christ in you, say Christ in you. Point to somebody, say Christ in you. The hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's our job. We continue to do that. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So Paul is saying, that's what I'm here for. To let you know that Christ is your hope. He is the hope of glory. But also, we need to be perfected in wisdom and being perfected in Jesus Christ. That was Paul's job. And guess what? We get the same job. Once we have come into Christ, our job is the same as the disciples. Nothing changes, right? Because the disciples, once again, like Jesus showed us how to live, the disciples begin to live like that, right? Now, that Jesus was perfected already, but they had to learn to be perfected. That's why you have some of the disciples talk to other disciples and say, hey, I don't think you're supposed to do something like that. That's why when you had the beginning of the church, there was a time where the people in the church got greedy and they weren't taking care of certain other people. And they said, hey, we need to fix this because that's not what God would do. Amen. So they were being perfected. The church is not perfect. Somebody say the church is not perfect. Now say it. Let's internalize it. I am not perfect, but God is. And I must learn his perfection and apply it to my life. Amen. Somebody say devoted. We have to be devoted to God. Amen. If this has been powerful to you, if it's impacted you, I just want you to raise your hand. If there's something that you can learn from this today, raise your hand. And we're going to take it with us. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. We are in a day and age where your devotion is really going to show. There's getting ready to be a line in the sand. And they're going to say, which side are you on? And if you don't make your mind up before they start drawing that line, it's not going to be good. Because then you're going to be, what's the benefits of that line? What's the benefits of it? The benefit is, in Christ, our benefit is, he is our only hope. He is the hope. So even if we go through stuff in this life, right, he is still our hope. Just because you're in a different situation than I'm in, or your situation may feel like it's going the way that you don't want it to go, if you remember that God is still your hope, you can make it through. Amen? Even if you have to die for what you believe. If you remember that God is my hope, my life is not worth as much as I think it is because he's my hope. And it says he's my eternal hope. Amen. The hope of glory. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for everybody that is here today, God. I pray, number one, dear God, that we understand that you are our hope. Dear God, that we seek you like we've never sought you before. Dear God, that we show that we are devoted to you because you showed and you've shown how devoted to us you are. Dear God, I pray to God that you would be with us, oh God. And I pray to God that the word that was spoken will be continue to grow, oh God. Dear God, I pray to God that you would allow us to continue in the ways of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.